As we continue Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, a series of Shiurim HaMenhagim, we read the words of the Shulchan Aruch in Yoyeridei Simen Reish Yod Dalid Seif Beis. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kabbalas HaRabim Chola Aleihem V'Alzaram. A Kabbalah that's accepted by the Rabbim is obligated to them and their children. And even if there is a situation where it's not the minig hamakim, el shenoyan gain kain miatzmam las gedev siyog l'tayra. If there's a minig that was accepted in a family, the family must continue that minig. And the basis for this halacha is the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, Daf Nun Amabeis, regarding the Bnei Baishan, that it was the minig in their family that they would not travel on Erev Shabbos, even from Tzur to Tzidoy, obviously not a very great distance. And Rabbi Yochanan told them that once this is a minig that was accepted by their family, given that the pasuk says "Al titoish toris mecha," they have to follow that minik. There is a machloikus hachroinim. Why do children have to continue following the minik of their parents? Some explain that it's really connected in the minig hamakom, that if their family lived in a place where that is the minig hamakom, that minig hamakom continues to their children. And it's very much connected in two ways. First of all, we go back, this sheet is very understood. First of all, we go back to what we just quoted, the Bnei Baishan. So we see that it's not just connected to a family. It's connected to a place. And furthermore, as we read at the beginning of our shir, the word of the Shulchan Aruch, it's quite clear that the Shulchan Aruch is somehow connecting the Minig HaMishpacha to the Minig HaMokim. This obviously would lead to a bikula. Because if you have a minig mishpacha, but it's not the minig hamakom, then the halachas that we're going to learn, how one has to follow those minhagim, would be much more lenient. However, there is another approach cited by the achroinim, that when a family accepted upon themselves a minig, when a family accepted upon himself a minig, that minig was not only for himself, but it was for their family for all generations. And then there's a third opinion, which is cited by the Divrei Chaim in Chelek Aleph Yoridei Simen Mem Ches, that it falls under the category of Dvarim HaMutarim V'Acherim Nagu Bo Isser. And there's a very interesting explanation. Just like we learned in our Gemara, that if somebody has a Chumrah, we may not be makel in that Chumrah. Certainly, if one's family has a minig, somebody who won't be following that minig will be in the category of Dvarim HaMutarim V'Acherim Nagum Isser. What would be the nafkamina between these pshatim? Certainly, as we discussed in the first of our shiurim, most Rishonim explain Makim Dvarim HaMutarim V'Acherim Nagum Isser is only a din derabbanan, and therefore would only be considered a derabbanan. The other pshatim would probably consider it a din deraisa. And then the other nafkamina is, according to the first pshat that we learned, it's only if it's a minig hamokim. If it's not a minig hamokim as well, then this halacha would not apply. However, there are paiskim, the pri chadosh, the chay adam, the pischei tshuva, I'm sorry, and the merim shik, that say that this children's obligation to follow the minig of their family is only in a situation where they have already begun to follow that minig. But if they never began after they were gedolim to follow that minig, they are not obligated to follow that minig. However, the pri chadosh and the chay adam and the aruch hashulchan disagree. Actually, the aruch hashulchan says it really depends. If it's a minig hamokum, that means it's not just a minig of the family, but it's also a minig hamokum. There, the aruch hashulchan says it doesn't make a difference if the children have or have not begun to follow that minig. But if it's just a minig of a mishpacha, then it makes a difference, as the Pesach Tshuva says the Aruch HaShulchan, if the children have begun to follow Ram Minig or not. The Stechemet says that this is only this halacha, that one has to follow the Minig of his family, is only in situations of a Minig. But let's say we have a situation where there's a machloikis in halacha, and the family has one minig, then the children, if they determine that they feel that the halacha is different, they're not obligated to follow the minig of their family. Also, say the poskim, that in a situation where the minig is not really based in halacha, but somebody accepted upon themselves a midas chassidus, there the children are not obligated to follow the minig of the family. Or in a situation where even the minig in the family, says the Marsham, is not that the family feels that that is clearly the halacha, but there's a minig in the family to be machmer, but they recognize that this is not more than a chumrah, the family members are not obligated to follow that minig. In a situation where, however, the family realizes that it's a chumrah, but they accept it upon themselves that this is a minig that we want to have in our mishpacha, there are some paiskim that say, since it was explicitly accepted under those terms, it falls back to what we said at the beginning of the shir, to al titosh tares imecha, and the family members are obligated to follow that minig. Especially, say the Paiskim, that a situation where this is a minig in a family for a number of generations, there's much more of an obligation to follow that minig. The Paiskim also discuss that we just said earlier that once the children have begun to follow the minig of their parents, they are obligated to continue doing so. But what would be the halacha if the children only follow the minig of the parents while the parents were alive? So now the Paiskim say that that the fact that they only followed him and hugged him while the parents were alive, we could attribute that they were doing that because of Kibbutz Av. And therefore, the fact that they already followed those menhagim does not obligate them to continue following the minig after the parents pass away. Certainly, the Paiskim are more lenient, and there's actually a Ravid that almost says this explicitly, that if the children are only following this menhagim while their parents, in a situation that they only follow these menhagim in the presence of their parents, that clearly is an indication that there was really no intention to accept this as a full-fledged minig, and it was only being done out of respect to the parents, and it's not considered a Kabbalist minig. There was a halacha that we quoted in an earlier shiur, that if somebody accepted upon himself a minig under incorrect pretenses, then that is not considered a Kabbalist minig. Say to Paiskim, the same as here, that if somebody thought that his father did something, because that's what the halacha required, not recognizing that this was only being done because it's a minig, that is not considered a Kabbalah that the children have to follow. As we continue discussing this issue about the minig of a family versus a minig of the obligation to follow the minig of a family, the question that comes up quite often is, if one's family has one minig and his Rebbe has another minig, what should be done? Should they follow the minig of the family, or should they follow the minig of the Rebbe? It seems, specifically as we discussed earlier, since the basis of following a minig is Al Titosh Toiras Imecha, so Al Titosh Toiras Imecha, the Pasuk doesn't say Al Titosh Toiras Rabbah. It says Al Titosh Toiras Imecha. So you should follow the minig of your family. Up to the degree that I saw the Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, Perek Hei Ha'orah Lamed Zayin, says that even a Baal Tshuva should follow the minig of his family, even though his parents, or maybe even his grandparents, weren't religious. He has the obligation to find out what was the minig of the previous generations, and that's what he should do. Rav Moshe Sternbuch, the Silas of Chuvus and Huggis, Chelik Beis Simen Shem Lamed Beis, disagrees. He says that a Baal Tshuva should follow the minig of his Rebbein. There are those that want to say that it depends what is the basis of the minig. If the basis of the minig is because there's a halachic debate, and his Rebbe paskins one way, and his family follows a different mahalach, there he could follow the minig of his Rebbe. But the minhagim that are not based on a halachic debate, but rather they're based on chumris or different siyogim, there the halacha is that he should follow the minig of his family. Also say to Paiskim, and this is very much connected to another shiur we're going to have, the concept of minig hamokim. So when we speak about minig hamokim, we also have to realize that even if somebody has to follow the minig of his parents, but it could be that while he's in the presence of his Rebbe, or while he's in the yeshiva that has a certain minig, there the Paiskim suggest he should follow the minig amokim of his Rebbe of yeshiva. As we continue discussing at great length the halachas of minhagim, a very important issue comes up. And that is the question of the power of a minhag. How far does a minhag go? So there's a famous Yerushalmi in Bava Metzia, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, that says, minhag oikar halacha. One should always follow a minhag. And the Paiskim say that one should follow a minhag under all circumstances. However, there are a number of conditions. Number one, the Rashba already says that it has to be a minhag that has been established by previous generations, Talmide Chachamim, Rabbonim, Yirei Shemayim. But if there was some minhag that was established, we don't even know where this minhag came from, and all of a sudden we now have this minhag, that isn't considered a situation that it's a minhag that we're obligated. That's not considered a situation that it's a minhag that we're obligated to follow. Moreover, most Paiskim say that even though we're saying minhag oikar halacha, that's only in a situation of dinei mamonos. When we know that when it comes to dinei mamonos, we have to follow the minhag hamakom. So that's when the minhag hamakom is considered particularly powerful. But if there's something which is halachically not permitted, and somebody's going to say that I'm relying on the minhag, you can't rely on a minhag when it goes specifically against what the halacha says. Having said that, that's only in a situation where, let's say, there's a minhag, and the minhag contradicts the halacha. So there we say that the halacha takes precedence over the minhag. But in a situation where the halacha is not clear, so we're not sure exactly what the halacha is, certainly there we should follow the minhag. Again, I repeat, only in a situation where it's a well-established minhag.